Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Joshua Grandison.
It's not a gas line per se. It is a natural gas liquids line, which would transport up to 400,000 barrels of fracked byproducts through Kentucky each day.
Carla Logsdon is a member of MoveOn.org, which will rally in Frankfort tomorrow against the proposed Bluegrass Pipeline.
The state auditor says a state agency may have misused more than $5 million in taxpayers' money.
And taxes are going up in the city of Mount Olivet.
In sports, the Reds host one of the top teams in the American League tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms tonight. Lows in the upper 60s. The complete weather forecast is coming up. But first, this news.
Members of MoveOn.org, Kentucky landowners, and other concerned citizens plan a rally in Frankfort tomorrow to express their opposition to the proposed Bluegrass Pipeline. Spokeswoman Carla Logsdon lives in Woodford County. She says the group will gather on the front steps of the state capitol at 3 o'clock to ask Governor Beshear to stop the project. She says there are some good reasons for doing so.
We know that this pipeline is coming through some very sensitive area. Kentucky is full of karst, which is kind of a fancy way of saying that our ground is like a honeycomb. We have lots of underground water, and if this pipeline should leak, it would contaminate water supplies for miles and miles. It would be going under the Ohio River and the Kentucky River.
Logsdon says the proposed Bluegrass Pipeline would transport up to 400,000 barrels of fracked natural gas liquids through the heartland of America every day. She says the companies proposing it, Williams and Boardwalk Pipeline Partners, LP, have a history of environmental problems that put public safety at risk. Logsdon says Governor Beshear will be given petitions containing the signatures of more than 2,000 people who oppose the project.
A state agency responsible for Kentucky's response to weather disasters and other emergencies has been slammed by a team of auditors who are reporting misuse of taxpayer money, intimidation of employees, and an overtly hostile workplace. Auditor Adam Edelin says that Kentucky Emergency Management may have misspent millions in recent years, some of it on alcohol, entertainment, and door prizes at conferences. Edelin also says the team that conducted the review found documents had been altered to hide inappropriate expenditures. He says his team identified as much as $5.6 million in questionable spending. Managers of the agency are disputing the auditor's findings, which are being turned over to the U.S. Office of Homeland Security, the Kentucky Attorney General's Office, and the Kentucky Executive Branch Ethics Commission.
A Bath County farmer who has just been reappointed to Kentucky's Agricultural Development Board says more of the state's tobacco settlement money should be spent in the eastern and central parts of the state. Betty Bailey serves on the 15-member panel that decides on applications for use of the funds. She says too many farmers from her region are having difficulty transitioning from tobacco to alternative crops.
Bath County was one of the 10 most tobacco-dependent counties in the state. And I'm not sure, but other counties in the area, like Robeson, well, that's about the only income, main income that they had in the county. And the tobacco money was just vital to these small counties and communities.
Bailey says those smaller communities are the ones that need the most help to diversify their agricultural economies.
Heavy rains this summer and high water on the Ohio River will not impair the city's efforts to encourage more business development along the waterfront. That's the view of Ashland Vice Mayor Kevin Gunderson. Steady precipitation last month during Ashland's annual Summer Motion celebration caused the river to spill over the city's boat dock and make for soggy grounds in its Veterans Park. However, Gunderson says the festival was a success anyway, and he doesn't think entrepreneurs will shy away from investing in opportunities along the river.
Building of a complex on the riverfront would likely be on the what's called the safe side of the railroad tracks, beyond the river, which would not have flood wall protection, but would be shielded by railroad tracks. That would be a business proposition. We've had others do this, OfficeMax, Ruby Tuesdays, and others. It has not been a factor for them.
Gunderson says occasionally high water is not a problem for the Veterans Park either. He says it's designed to flood, though he's quick to add the city hasn't had any substantial flooding since 1937.
Members of the Huntington Southern States Cooperative are considering a proposal to dissolve the co-op and liquidate the store's assets. Members are scheduled to vote on the proposed closure August 14th. The chairman of the cooperative's board, Fort Gay cattle farmer Norman Davis, tells the Herald-Dispatch that Southern States corporate representatives recommended the store's closure due to financial reasons. Davis says the Huntington store is one of 25 that Southern States corporate has proposed to dissolve. If the store closes, farmers in the region would have to travel to Southern States locations in Moorhead or Pleasant Point to buy supplies.
Add Steve Beshear to the list of Kentucky officials who think education should get more money in the state's next two-year budget. The governor says it was difficult to provide for the schools as revenues fell during the recession. However, Beshear says the federal government has made the situation worse.
We certainly face a danger in this federal sequestration that's going on right now because they're cutting education funds. And we're going to get less money coming into the state for Head Start and for a lot of the programs that help our children to get a good education and be able to compete in this 21st century economy.
The governor is pledging to work hard in the upcoming session of the legislature to find more money for education.
With classes for the fall semester starting Thursday, the Rowan County School District is gearing up for the expected traffic backups that will encircle its facilities. Superintendent Marvin Moore and other district officials spent today talking about the situation with leaders of the Moorhead Police Department, the Rowan Sheriff's Department, and Kentucky State Police. According to Moore, their assistance should help in getting the district's traffic problem solved quickly.
Within two or three days, usually it starts flowing very well. Of course, you know, with the McBrayer moving the kindergarten back to their building, that's going to create a little more traffic out there. But if everybody will be patient with us, I think we'll get, after two or three days, things will even out and we'll have a smooth traffic flow.
Moore says if parents want to ensure that they won't have to deal with heavy traffic on the first few days of school, they should put their kids on a bus.
Following a months-long search, Georgetown College has named its choice to succeed 22-year president William Crouch. KPR's Josh James has the story.
Our 24th president, Dr. Green.
Dr. Dwayne Green is set to take over as president of Georgetown College in late October, following a search that originally came down to former Lexington Mayor Jim Newberry and Jason Rogers of Belmont University before both withdrew from consideration. Green, a North Carolina native and provost at Campbell University, says the job opening was not on his radar until Georgetown approached him.
When another institution comes to you and says, we are really interested in you, you know, you're the person that we would really like to have. That's a high compliment.
Georgetown Board Chair Earl Good says among the challenges facing Green is the school's business model, which hasn't been updated in decades.
We're a liberal arts college that basically have operated as we do today for the last 35, 40 years. So one of the things that that new leadership will provide is come in and really look at, is Georgetown today meeting the needs of Central Kentucky?
Grenetta Bingham Blevins was selected as acting president in late June. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Josh James.
The city of Mount Olivet is raising its payroll tax by 1%. Mayor Linda Reed says city council reluctantly made the choice Monday night in the face of budget hardships brought on by cuts in state funding and the need to make improvements to its sewer and water system.
We lost the income from the school when it moved out into the county, and we've lost quite a bit of money this year. And we're going to try to pick the school back up, but we haven't to yet. And, you know, it's been 1 cent here ever since they first put the tax on. That's all it's ever been, 1 cent on a dollar.
Reed says she's not happy with the 1 cent increase, but it had to be done. The new tax rate is set to take effect in January.
While saying a compromise is not close, Kentucky's House Majority Leader insists the groundwork for legislation aimed at fixing the state's antiquated tax codes will be reached in time for lawmakers to act on it during the 2014 session. According to Rocky Adkins, a number of groups and individuals, including Governor Steve Beshear, are reviewing several proposals. The Boyd County Democrat believes that that will eventually lead to finding a way to modernize the Commonwealth's tax system.
and into a tax structure that is a competitive tax structure as far as being able to recruit industry and business and retain jobs, but also one that is fair to the people of Commonwealth as well. So we've got an old tax system that needs to be restructured. I think we're just to the point to where what are the right pieces of the puzzle that you can put together that can get the votes to pass through the General Assembly.
Atkins thinks the key is finding a compromise on tax reform that can pass both the House and Senate. He was in Rowan County earlier on Monday for the local district's staff breakfast.
Kentucky's lieutenant governor is taking a pass on the 2015 governor's race. Speaking today in E-Town, Jerry Abramson said he will focus on education issues during his remaining time in Frankfort. Abramson has been on the short list of potential Democratic gubernatorial candidates, but he said he is no longer interested in running for public office.
You don't need to be an elected official to be a public servant. I see myself really getting involved in public service by advocating for kids, by speaking out, by meeting with parents.
Abramson told reporters he wants to be an education warrior, but declined any interest in being state education commissioner, university president, or a school superintendent.
The Ashland Police Department has received another five-year accreditation from the Kentucky Association of Chiefs of Police. MSPR's own Arlo Barnett has that story.
The Ashland Independent reports that this is the second consecutive accreditation for the Ashland Police Department. The accreditation program is widely regarded as one of the most valuable tools for improving an institution's performance and is a way for departments to evaluate their own effectiveness and professionalism. Accreditation includes the use of consistent procedures, efficient practices, and clear policies, all of which have been implemented by the APD over the past 5 years. The APD was recognized for meeting those standards last week in Lexington. This is Arlo Barnett reporting for MSPR News.
And finally this afternoon, Rowan County Judge Executive Jim Nickel admits he'll miss his job when he leaves office next year. After three stints as judge, including one during the mid-1980s, Nickel has said he'll retire when his current term ends a year from this November. He admits the job of leading the county is a lot different from what it was when he first held the office over three decades ago.
It's much larger, much more complex. Demands are much greater. It never ends. I guess the big difference is that from 20 years ago to the last eight, the amount of boards, committees, and meetings that you are required, not required, but you're expected to be at is tremendous.
Several potential candidates to replace Nickel have already surfaced, including Deputy Judge Executive Jerry Alderman, businessman Skip Hawley, and Moorhead State Senator Walter Blevins.
And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Bath, Carter, and Greenup. Tonight, mostly cloudy, with isolated showers in the evening, then scattered showers and thunderstorms late, lows in the upper 60s, chance of rain at 50%. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with numerous showers and thunderstorms, highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain at 70%. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70, chance of rain 50%. Currently in Ashland, it is 82 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it is 81 degrees. In Winchester, it is 80 degrees. In Inez, it's 84 degrees. And currently in Moorhead and Lexington, it is 83 degrees.
It is 444 on our feature segment this afternoon. For much of the 19th and early 20th centuries, Louisville's waterfront was the marketing center for one of Kentucky's signature products, bourbon whiskey. Dozens of distillery owners had offices and warehouses along the Ohio River. The waterfront operations were known collectively as Whiskey Row. Those businesses disappeared with Prohibition. But as Kentucky Public Radio's Rick Howlett reports, thanks to the libation's new popularity, Louisville is re-embracing its bourbon heritage.
Some of the original Whiskey Row buildings are still standing. These structures or their facades are being preserved after decades of neglect. This is where, in the old days, visiting buyers could sample whiskey, or bourbon, that's whiskey made under stricter rules for ingredients and storage. Bourbon historian Michael Veach says Whiskey Row also housed operations called rectifiers. They would purchase cheap whiskey from distilleries to the south, then add flavor and color for quick resale.
one company advertised they could make a 9-year-old whiskey while you waited. So, you know, the quality wasn't always there.
The distillery companies vanished with Prohibition, and Veatch says Whiskey Row never regained its status as an industry hub.
The whole society had changed drastically. You went from being mostly a steamboat railroad society to an automobile society.
But now bourbon is back in town.
We do a unique thing by finishing it. So we take the bourbon out of the white charred American oak cask and then put it into a French oak Portuguese wine cask for about 6 months. It lends a little bit of fruitiness and a kind of a soft texture characteristic you don't typically get in bourbon.
24-year-old Kyle Henderson is the processing and blending manager for Angel's Envy, a brand of bourbon created several years ago by his grandfather, Lincoln Henderson, a retired master distiller. Angel's Envy will open a distillery and tourist stop next year in a long-vacant factory building along the old Whiskey Row corridor. The name is a play on Angel's Share, the term for the portion of liquor that evaporates out of the barrel as it ages.
Typically you lose, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5% depending on where the warehouse it is. And so my grandfather said, you know, maybe the angels will be a little envious of what's left in the barrel, so we'll call it the Angel's Envy.
Angel's Envy is a small batch bourbon, a concept that has helped propel the industry's unprecedented growth in recent years. Two other brands, Michter's and Kentucky Peerless, also recently announced plans to build Whiskey Row distilleries. And that's not all.
Nearly 230 years ago, an enterprising Welsh immigrant named Evan Williams set up what is considered to be the first commercial distilling operation in the Commonwealth. Pretty much just
That's Harry Shapira of Heaven Hill Distilleries announcing last year the creation of the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience. It will open this fall near the riverfront site where Williams fired up his still. The Evan Williams Bourbon Experience will include a micro distillery and tasting room. Visitors will be greeted by a huge fountain featuring a 5-story bourbon bottle that empties into a glass.
We call bourbon a food group in Louisville, and embrace it.
No one is more pleased with the Whiskey Row Renaissance than Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher. He spoke at the Evan Williams announcement.
It's what you like as a mayor, because when you're talking to other mayors and people around the country, they say, what's unique about your city? What makes you stand out?
The Evan Williams Experience will also be the 8th stop on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, a popular tour of distilleries. It drew more than 500,000 visitors last year. Bourbon historian Mike Veatch says he doesn't expect the industry's surge to slow down anytime soon.
I think that it will continue to grow at least for the next 5 or 10 years. Then I think it will probably come to a plateau and it'll just kind of flatten out. I don't see it going into decline like it did in the 60s and 70s.
And that bodes well for the revival of Whiskey Row. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Rick Howlett in Louisville.
It is 4:48. All things considered, from NPR at 5 o'clock and JSAS Sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, open at 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and located near the entrance to the Moorhead City Park. The Rowan County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program WIC and senior checks are accepted. For additional information, the phone number is 784-5457. Kentucky proud. Nothing else is close.
The big red machine looks to get the engine running. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. Hoping for better results, the Cincinnati Reds will start an interleague series with the Oakland Athletics this evening at 7:10 at Great American Ballpark. The Reds will be coming back after losing 2 of 3 weekend home games to St. Louis. Manager Dusty Baker will be looking for a bounce-back effort from his pitching staff, which was shelled for 28 runs in the 2 losses to the Cardinals.
We certainly got to get our act together, and you know, everybody got to be accountable for the job that they're doing or not doing. I mean, the bullpen is usually good when they're rested, and anybody not rested or if they're overpitched, but we had no choice, and you know, we just didn't match up.
At 61-51, the Reds start the day in third place in the National League Central. They're 5 games behind second place St. Louis and 6.5 behind division leader Pittsburgh. The Lexington Legends are back in action tonight as they look to take game 2 in their series with the Asheville Tourists. Legends will look to improve on their 26-18 record as they will have 4-8 Miguel Almonte on the mound tonight. The Tourists will counter with 2-3 Matt Fleamer as they look to help out their 17-26 record. First pitch is set for 7:05. The 2013-2014 schedule for the Morehead State women's basketball team has been released. After getting off to slow starts in the last 2 years after playing some of the nation's top-rated teams, Coach Tom Hodges says this season's slate was put together with the key goal of giving the Eagles some games against some opponents that they'll better match up with.
We constructed this schedule very meticulously to try to give ourselves a snapshot look of the programs that are very similar to ours early in the season, and then towards the end of the non-conference season, really try to build upon what we hope is early season success and really jumping off into the OVC portion.
MSU opens with Kentucky Christian on November 1st at home. Among the Eagles' non-conference foes are Norfolk State, Ohio, Marshall, Western Kentucky, Indiana, Cincinnati, and Southern Illinois. While football season is starting to become in full swing, one former Kentucky basketball player is starting his journey in the NBA. Former Wildcats center and now Philadelphia 76er Nerlens Noel joined the crew of ESPN's First Take this past week. The first question put in front of him, which many Big Blue fans want to know, is when will he be ready to play?
You know, I'm just definitely taking my time, being careful with it. You know, I definitely want to be have a long-lasting career and, you know, have a great career in Philadelphia and, you know, do the best by that city. So I'm just taking my time with this, and, you know, when I feel ready to come back and, you know, I'm stronger than before, is when I know I'm able to come back.
There is no specific date set for Noel's return, but he is expected to return within the first 2 months of the regular season. As the Morehead State Football Eagles get into their first week of preseason drills, there remains one key positional question at the top of everyone's minds. Who will quarterback the team this fall? Offensive coordinator Craig Mullen says he can't answer that question just yet, although he wants to do so very soon.
We've got some young kids coming in that I don't think I've ever been a part of a team where we've had this high quality, especially three really high caliber quality kids coming in. And, you know, we've got two veterans that'll compete for it. And all we need is somebody just to go take it by the throat and grab a hold of it and say it's theirs. And the sooner we can sort that out, I think the better it's going to help our football team.
The front runners for the job right now appear to be redshirt junior Boone Goldsmith and redshirt freshman Logan Johnson, although neither player has really separated himself yet from the rest of the pack. According to Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops, his players are working hard, but his team is far from being a finished product. Stoops says the Wildcats have a long way to go as they attempt to learn their new offense and defensive schemes.
Coaches are still, you know, coaching every play, every rep. We want to do things right, and it's still frustrating at times, but some of that's to be expected. We're just trying to keep on limiting those errors and mental mistakes and the communication. So I think on both sides of the ball, we're getting better, but we're nowhere near where we need to be.
Stoops, though, really likes the enthusiastic way the Cats are approaching the challenge. UK opens up the 2013 campaign against Western Kentucky on August 31st in Nashville. The current Heisman Trophy winner is used to being in the spotlight, but may have took that fame a little too far. Johnny Manziel has been the top story in all of college football since his recent incident with a supposed rule-breaking autograph session has now led to an NCAA investigation. Just this evening, ESPN reported that Manziel was paid $7,500 for the autographs he signed. The coach, Kevin Sumlin, says the school is doing what it can to get the truth regarding that report that he was accepted money for those autographs.
That's a situation that for me as a coach, you know, that has happened in a 24-hour period. Our university is doing its due diligence to find out the facts.
Just yesterday, Texas A&M started their preseason practices. And finally, Morehead State soccer team will be getting into its preseason workouts in the next few days. Coach Warren Lipka thinks the Eagles can be pretty good this fall, but says much of that could hinge on how hard his players work to get in shape over the summer. He notes they won't have much time for conditioning when practices begin.
We have 10 days before we play a scrimmage, and then actually it's 17 days before we open up. So if we're not fit, you can't get Division I fit in 17 days. all you can do is kind of, you want them to be fit, and you can get them by the time. If you're fit, then you're going to get through preseason without any injuries, and then we get into the season, we can get them game fit.
The MSU soccer team has an exhibition match against Western Kentucky on August 18th at Jane Stadium. That's a look into the world of sports. Have a great evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. In a case of the August doldrums today, again, the market showed a loss, losses yesterday, and an even worse loss, as the Dow was probably largely spooked by Fed talk today as much as anything. There were two members of the Federal Reserve speaking today, and both Atlanta Fed President Dennis Lockhart and Chicago Fed President Charles Evans hinted that the Fed could begin its easing its bond buying program known as QE as early as next month. And Evans is a voting member of the Fed's Monetary Policy Committee. And even though Lockhart is not, the market has paid close attention to comments from all Fed members recently for clues about the central bank's next move. And at the 4 o'clock close, the Dow had improved somewhat and finished with a loss of 93.39 at 15,518.74. The S&P 500 was down 9.77 at 1697.37. The NASDAQ Composite was down 27.18 at 3665.77. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 22-7 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Gold was down 1.38%, and oil was down just over 1%. In individual corporate news, shares of Michael Kors rose sharply after the luxury retailer reported sales and earnings that blew past expectations. All was not good news, though, on the corporate front, as shares of American Eagle Outfitters tumbled after the teen clothing retailer cut its outlook for the current quarter due to weak demand. Sony shares plummeted as the board rejected the activist investor Lieb's plan to separate the entertainment company from the rest of the company. Dish Network reported a quarterly loss due to high costs associated with an acquisition of two of its satellites. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 35 cents at 88.10, CSX down 25 cents at 25.61, AEP down 60 cents at 45.79, AK Steel down 11 cents at 3.33, Marathon Petroleum down 57 cents at 71.12, Arch Coal unchanged at 3.95. And reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features original and unique gifts, including local artwork, fine jewelry, gemstones, sculptures, and natural art from around the world. Eat Gallery offers heirlooms, including earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and original artwork by Rob Weingartner and Fred Weisner. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery in Maysville is online at eatgallery.com.
And taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area for tonight, expect mostly cloudy skies with isolated showers in the evening, then scattered showers and thunderstorms later on with lows in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is at 50%. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with numerous showers and thunderstorms, highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain at 70%. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70, chance of rain at 50%. Currently in Ashland, it's 82 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 81 degrees. Winchester, it's 80 degrees. In Lexington, it's 83 degrees. In Inez, it's 84 degrees. And here in Morehead, it is currently 83 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Mike Williams, Chase Scott, Sam Steyer, Asa Hosada, and Arlo Barnett. From Kentucky Public Radio, Josh James and Rick Howlett. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Joshua Grandison and all of the MSPR News Team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.